Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host. Today our scripture is taken from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 14, which says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." This verse tells us that we should always be victorious as we live our Christian lives. That doesn't mean that we won't have problems and difficulties. It doesn't mean that everything will be smooth. Sometimes we find ourselves in very complicated situations that we really can't explain why we have this situation, but we know that the Lord's allowed it, and so therefore we trust Him to help us to work through these things. The Scripture is telling us that we can always be victorious. There's always a way of escape for every problem that comes our way if we just trust the Lord and as we pray and if we just have patience and wait on the Lord to help us solve these problems. And the Lord wants us to be victorious. He wants us to have our eyes fixed upon Him. We want Him, even though we're in a difficult situation, that we know that He's working through us and He's working with us. He's trying to help us to grow in grace and the knowledge of Him as we exercise more and more faith. So we're actually growing closer to Him and we're becoming more usable to Him. And so I just pray that this verse will help us to realize that each moment of each day, we can allow the Lord to work through us and to help us and to meet our needs, and we will be victorious as we continue to fix our eyes upon Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith.
This is Dennis Campbell, president of Mission Go, sharing updates from the mission field. This week on Mission Moments, I will focus on Mission Go continuing direct outreach to build local Christian churches around the globe. Mission Go ministry offering is discipleship and local church planting in over 56 countries around the globe. First, let me share about Quinn and McKenna Norris in Sierra Leone. Our missionaries, Quinn and McKenna, have a discipleship and widows ministry in Sierra Leone. Recently, one of the men they are discipling shared this: "I was sharing the lesson on testimonies that you taught us, and my friend connected with my story and wanted to believe in Jesus too. Praise God." Throughout their training, their disciples have been evangelizing and people have been surrendering to Christ. Some of their earliest disciples have begun the phase where they select their own men and women to disciple and make into disciple makers. In one of our high security missionaries, Daniel and Barbara, our missionaries who are currently serving in this country, have been invited to serve at a special outreach institute. This is the project that their local church has to help needy people who live in within the region. They will be taking care of the institute and bringing new management and purpose to it, along with another missionary couple. From Monday to Friday, they will have activities for children and teenagers who live in slums and vulnerable conditions. They will bring different types of activities to help them develop new skills such as English courses, soccer, ballet, jiu-jitsu, arts, robotics. In addition to bringing a new meaning through the Word of God, Our missionaries will also offer training courses so that families can learn new things and thus be able to guarantee money for their families, such as cooking, carpentry, and English courses. They are praying for more missionaries to join their team. For now, there are 3 full-time couples, but due to the scale of the project, they need more people. We are also serving as pastoring the youth and teens of our local church. Our missionary Sarah Spear, Congo, every time the Leukemia Center in the Congo welcomes new patients, it performs a baseline evaluation of sensation and motor function because leprosy initially affects the skin and peripheral nerves. "Grip my hand with all your strength, Sarah," one of our missionaries said to a young man, 15 years old. His grip was much less than usual. He had 2 severe sores on the bottom of his left foot, and his peripheral nerves were enlarged. "Close your eyes tight." His left eye remained open 1-2 centimeters, as the bottom lid would not come up to cover his eye due to nerve damage, lagophthalmos. Immediately, they started him on multi-drug therapy, MDT. A year later, they went through the same tests. This time, his grip made Sarah wince. His sores were healed and his nerves were normal. Then his eye closed and he could hold it closed. Success. Thank you, Lord. Basil was ready to go home and help others come for treatment. He is a testimony that leprosy is treatable and that the MDT is effective if taken daily and not mixed with drinking and drugs. Most, aka pygmies, are addicted because the Bantu pay them for their work with alcohol and cigarettes. Sometimes, the only way to reach people in need is to go to where they live. God laid this burden on Guy Serge's heart, another MGO missionary. In the village of Likosa, several men volunteered to help carry their luggage and take them through the swamplands to reach the town, Mokili Sango, where the aka pygmies live. It was an 8-hour hike that they will never forget. They would wade into the water, sometimes up to their waists, and then come up on a short piece of land to plunge again into the water, trying to find their path over the branches hidden below it. They repeated this process hour after hour. At the same time, they were being swarmed by bees and little sweat flies. Their reward was that they had an excellent opportunity to experience the beauty of the forest and its wildlife. They eventually found the AKA and were able to give them treatment for their illnesses. Their greatest regret was leaving behind a young teenage girl with advanced leprosy and several children without treatment because medicine for their ages was not available. These are just a few of the reports that have come across my desk this week, showing how the Lord is continuing to work through these dear missionaries. Please continue to pray for these couples active on the field. Blessing on all of you for your prayers for our workers on the front lines. This month, we would like to make available a booklet about prayers that make a difference in our adult children's lives. Career choices, sense of purpose, and important decisions, health, marriage, and vital relationships. Financial struggles, emotional trials, and walk with God. Each prayer also includes a scripture verse to reflect on through your day. To order your copy of the booklet, The Power of Praying for Your Adult Children, written by Stormy O'Martin, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, zip code L2R7A7, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. We wish to bless your life with these messages. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners. For any more questions about messages or information on this broadcast, you can email Tammy Campbell at tjcampbell@missiongo.org. Thank you. We at Mission Go pray this message will change your life and challenge you to seek a deeper understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take the time to read a couple of verses from the Bible in the book of Matthew 11:28-29. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy with burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls." Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners. Visit www.missiongo.org or email us at tjcampbellmissiongo.org. Please remember us in your prayers.
Praise ye the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to his temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise ye the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth. Shelters the under his wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen
Today's message is from Dr. Fred Hartman and is a continuation of his prophecy series taken out of Isaiah 10. Printed copies are available upon request.
For some time now, we have been working our way through some of the prophecies recorded in the book of Isaiah. The 53rd chapter is the one most Christians are familiar with. But today, we're going to stop on the way there and take a look at chapter 51. For me, this is a very interesting and intriguing chapter. This chapter is one of real encouragement to those who follow the Lord and are living a righteous life. It begins by the cry, "Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you are hewn." The people were living in difficult times, for Assyria had conquered the 10 northern tribes and was making their move to take Judah as well. The Lord challenged these faithful ones to look to him and remember how he was faithful to the founder of the nation, Abraham. As God was faithful to their forefathers, he promises that he will never change and will be faithful unto them. God also promises he will be faithful to Zion and comfort her. Then he promises to make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Many Bible commentaries claim this has to do with what will happen when the Babylonian captivity ends. But I believe there's something far greater than that here. God did bring the Jewish people back from 70 years under Babylon, but I am convinced we have yet to see the land of Israel prosper as promised here, and I believe the context of the rest of the chapter will make that clear. This is also a long-range prophecy that has yet to be fulfilled. Again in verse 4, we read for the second time, "Listen to me." He goes on to speak about a day when God's law will be known, and justice and righteousness will be established for the nations, and salvation will be forever. His righteousness will never again be abolished. In contrast to this, they're told to look upward, for the heavens will vanish away like smoke, and the earth will grow old like a garment, and those who dwell in it will die in like manner. This is not something that would take place in their lifetime, and even today has not yet come to pass, but it will. He continues, "But my salvation will be forever." In other words, he is speaking of a day when all that we see and know will be gone, but his salvation will never end. What a blessed series of promises that are tucked away in this chapter for the child of God. Then at the beginning of verse 7, we have for the third time, "Listen to me," repeat it. Here he reminds them not to fear the reproach of man, for their faith is in the Lord. Those enemies will perish just like a garment that has been eaten by moths. In contrast to their enemies, God promises that his salvation is forever and his righteousness will continue for generation after generation. After the three times we saw "listen to me," we find a change in God's command. Now we will find two sections of this chapter where the command is given, "Awake, awake." Verse 9 through 11 are either a prayer of the righteous remnant of Jewish believers, or, as some commentators hold, the words of Isaiah the writer. Most hold it has to do with a plea for deliverance from the enemy at that time. I believe it is a prophetic and referring to a day that is still future, for the context has to do with the heavens becoming old and a time when sorrow and mourning will be gone. The cry beginning in verse 9 is for the Lord to awaken and move once again as he had in the past when he dried up the waters of the Red Sea. The plea is that the redeemed would return to Israel with joy and singing at a time when sorrow and mourning will be gone. Though they return from the Babylonian captivity later on, there was only a remnant of 50,000 who returned, and they came home to a city and a country that had been destroyed by the enemy. I'm sure they rejoiced at being home, but they faced a very daunting task to rebuild the nation. In verses 12 to 16, it appears as though the Lord responds to their plea by reminding them that I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that should be afraid of a man who will die? He goes on to remind them that he was the only one who made the heavens and the earth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. He reassures this godly remnant that they are his people, and he has not forgotten them. The second final awake of this chapter brings us to a very interesting portion of the prophetic word of God. It has to do with a cup of trembling. The Lord cries out to the Jewish people, "Stand up, O Jerusalem, you who have drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. You have drunk of the dregs of the cup of trembling and drained it out." The first thing we must do is to establish what is the cup of trembling. It will become very clear as we continue our study of Isaiah 51 and tie it together with the words of the prophets Jeremiah and Zechariah, that it portrays the wrath of God that is poured out. Our present passage makes it very clear that the wrath of God has been poured out on the nation of Israel because they turned their back on the Lord. It was poured out on the Jewish people throughout the Old Testament because they turned from the Lord to idolatry. Then later it was poured out on them because of the rejection of the Messiah. This was all predicted way back in Deuteronomy 28 and 29. The Jewish people lost their land in 70 AD. They have been scattered across the face of the earth ever since then. They have faced all kinds of oppression throughout the centuries. There were the Crusades that slaughtered Jewish people as the armies moved across Europe to the Middle East. There was the Spanish Inquisition, the Russian pogroms, and then the Holocaust, where 6 million Jews died. A former co-worker of mine told me years ago that when she was a little girl in Poland, shopping at an open market with her mother and grandmother, a Russian Cossack came riding down the street on a horse and beheaded her grandmother right in front of her for no reason other than she was a Jew. Today, anti-Semitism is sweeping the world once more. There are nations seeking to destroy Israel. We're seeing Jewish cemeteries being desecrated, and even on many of our college campuses, Jewish students are being harassed. I am convinced it will only get worse as time passes. Let me just pause for a moment to consider what the word trembling means. In the original language, it has the idea of reeling or staggering like a person who is drunk. This will be brought out more clearly shortly when we look at Zechariah chapter 12. So as we have seen, the Jewish people have been drinking from the cup of God's fury all the way down to the bottom of the cup. But we must ask ourselves the question of whether or not this will ever end. To answer this question, we must skip down to verse 21 and following, where we read, "Therefore, please hear this, you afflicted, and drunk but not with wine. Thus saith your Lord, the Lord and your God, who pleads the cause of his people. See, I have taken out of your hand the cup of trembling, the dregs of the cup of my fury. You shall no longer drink it, but I will put it into the hand of those who afflict you, who have said to you, lie down that we may walk over you. And you have laid your body like the ground and as the street for those who walk over." Here's a wonderful prophecy that probably has a dual fulfillment. The immediate problem that Israel faced in the days of the prophet Isaiah was the Assyrian army of Sennacherib. Judah had been almost all been taken by the enemy, with the exception of Jerusalem, and it was surrounded. You remember how the angel of the Lord went forth one night and killed 185,000 Assyrian troops. That was the immediate relief from the cup. However, there's a far greater fulfillment of this prophecy in the future. It's found in Zechariah chapter 12. We read in verse 2, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness, or reeling, or trembling, to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem." This prophecy is speaking of a future day, when according to verse 9, God says, "It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem." What does God mean when he says all? We find our answer two chapters later in the same book. "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the rest of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth." That's Zechariah 14:2 to the beginning of verse 4 and part of verse 9. Here we learn of a future day when the armies of all the nations of the earth will come against Jerusalem. They will be drunken with the thought they can finally wipe out the Jewish people, and it will almost come to pass. But it will not be the Israeli defense forces that will win the battle. Christ himself will return, and at his second coming, he will, by the word of his mouth, totally destroy the armies of the world and take over as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Jeremiah 25, verse 15 and 16, it speaks of that cup again, when the prophet is told, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel to me, Take this cup of fury from my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it. And they will drink and stagger and go mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Though this passage seems to be speaking about deliverance from Babylon in the day of Jeremiah, when you read on, it is much broader than that. And at that day the slain of the Lord shall be from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented or gathered or buried. They shall become refuse on the ground. That's Jeremiah 25:33. Now finally, as we return to Isaiah 51, we can understand what the prophet was speaking about when he said the cup of trembling would be taken from Israel and poured out on the nations of the world. The cup of God's wrath will be poured on the nations that have persecuted and terrorized her. God will do this at a day still in the future. As we look around the world today, we see 57 nations in the United Nations that constantly bring unjust charges against Israel. There are a great number of those nations that would like to see Israel and the Jewish people wiped off the face of the earth. There are attacks of terror against the Jewish people all across the globe. In my opinion, it is very possible that in a very brief time, all the nations of the world could be bringing their armies against Israel, just as the Word of God predicted so long ago. We have seen that God's judgment will be swift and complete. Now let's get personal for a moment. What would happen to you if you were here alive at that time? God's judgment would fall on you. Not only could you die, but you could face an eternity separated from God in the lake of fire. However, God has provided a way for you not to face that awful judgment. He lovingly sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross at Calvary to pay the price of judgment for your sin. You can receive him as your Savior and be delivered from this time of judgment. For all those who trust Christ will be taken to be with him to heaven before these events of our chapter come to pass. The decision is yours, and it will make an eternal difference for you.
I know that the Lord used the previous message from God's Word in your life. Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we're so concerned about people growing in their faith and growing closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We also know that there will be many listening to this broadcast who have never had a personal relationship with the God of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the gospel is very simple in that it's just a matter of exercising faith and believing. The scriptures are very clear. The scriptures tell us that all of us have sinned. All of us have done wrong things, said bad things, done bad things. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, which means we can't come into God's presence because God's a holy God. The scriptures also tell us that the wages of sin, in other words, the payment for our sins is death, spiritual death, as well as physical death, separation from God forever and ever and ever in a place that's not a pleasant place. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The scriptures go on to say that as many as receive him, unto them gave he the right to become children of God. I trust today that you will take time to ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life.
This month, we would like to make available a booklet about prayers that make a difference in our adult children's lives. Career choices, sense of purpose, and important decisions, health, marriage, and vital relationships. Financial struggles, emotional trials, and walk with God. Each prayer also includes a scripture verse to reflect on through your day. To order your copy of the booklet, The Power of Praying for Your Adult Children, written by Stormy O'Martin, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, zip code L2R7A7, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Visit www.missiongo.org or email us at tjcampbellmissiongo.org. Please remember us in your prayers.